Amen. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this evening. Christmas is over. Some of you are glad. And some of you, like me, are sad. I look forward to Christmas all year, and then when it's over, I'm a little sad. And we get to about Groundhog Day, and I'm finally ready for Christmas to come. And I realize now I've got to wait 10 months or better. But Christmas is over. Now what? The presents have been purchased, and I've been listening to the, if you've been listening to the news or reading the news lately, they've been talking a lot about all the returns and how Walmart and some of the places, some of the retailers around our country are busier the day after Christmas than they are any of the days leading up to Christmas. More people there taking back gifts that they weren't happy with and getting rid of them, taking them back. And so that's the reality of what's going on in our world today. Maybe it was something you didn't like, you didn't want. Maybe it was something that didn't fit. But you know what God did the first Christmas? He gave us the unspeakable gift of His only begotten Son. And for those of you that are here, the majority of you, I can't obviously see in everybody's heart, but it's my prayer that every person in the room has repented of their sin. They've trusted in Christ. You have repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have received personally that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have eternal life. And this Christmas has been a time for you to come and adore Him, to worship Him, to glorify His holy name. Now what? Now what do? We take that gift and try to return it? Do we take it and put it up on a shelf and not use it? Or what are we going to do? Well, I want you to see with me just as quickly as we can tonight some people who encountered the Lord Jesus at His birth, and it changed their lives. Tonight I want to see how they responded. And tonight I want to show you seven responses to the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, or seven ways that we ought to respond. What do we do now? Christmas has come and gone, so what do we do? Well, it's the end of the year. We're coming to the beginning of a new year. And it's not a sad time. It ought to be an exciting time. It's a time to renew our commitment to God. It's a time to renew our faith in Christ and to serve Him in a greater way. And so let's look at it tonight here in Luke chapter 2. And we remember, beginning at verse 8, how the shepherds were in the field watching over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came and gave them that great news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they go and they find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in that manger. And so we're going to kind of pick up right there in verse 15. So Luke 2 and verse 15, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God. And just get that picture in your mind tonight. The shepherds were out doing what they did every night, watching over their flocks. But this night would be incredibly different. And it was incredibly different not because an angel appeared to them, not because they heard the heavenly host singing, not because of any of those amazing events that happened, but this: they saw Christ Jesus the Lord. And it changed everything for them. Luke 2 and verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Our Heavenly Father, please convict our hearts tonight. Help us to see the things that need to change in our hearts and lives. Help us to respond biblically and according to the leadership of your Holy Spirit to our Savior's birth. Lord, just guide us tonight, convict our hearts, and help us. Lord, may we just go from this place tonight changed and rejoicing in all that you are and all that you've done for us. and renewed in our commitment to live for you in a greater way. Please help me now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to take a little look tonight at the shepherds. We're going to look a little bit tonight at Mary and Joseph, at a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna, and then just very briefly again at those wise men that we studied just the other day. But I just want you to see these seven things this evening. Number one, I want you to notice that those who see Jesus, those who meet Christ, they are changed, and it compels them to do what we call today evangelism. If you go back at verse 17, the Bible says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And so what it means is what they heard from the angel about Jesus, this child that was born and who he was and what he came to do, they made known abroad. That means they went everywhere telling everyone they could about Jesus. In verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so these men, they went around rejoicing in what God had done, but they went around making known what God had told them. They wanted to let everyone know. In a minute, we'll read more about a woman named Anna. But something that Anna did was she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. People who meet Jesus are compelled to tell other people about Jesus. I don't know if you can remember when you got saved, but I remember when I got saved. I remember those first few months after I got saved. I remember how I wanted to tell everyone. I had been given the gift of eternal life, and I wanted other people to share in that gift. I wanted people to know what God had done in my life. I wanted other people to know that they were going to heaven. I mean, the joy that I felt to know when I died I wasn't going to hell anymore, now I'm going to heaven. I wanted other people to have that joy, and I had this compulsion to go and tell people. And friends, that ought to be what we have. And I know here at Calvary we talk a lot about evangelism, and you hear a lot of preaching about it. That's because you can't look in the Bible without being compelled to tell other people about Jesus. And if we've truly met the Lord, and we've truly received the message, there ought to be a desire to tell other people. These shepherds, they could have had any excuse in the world. They were no doubt unlearned and ignorant men. These are men who probably couldn't read. These are men who had not been educated. These are men who were of a low esteem in society. These weren't Pharisees in high regard. These weren't lawyers or physicians. These weren't people who had a high position. They could have said, well, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm just a shepherd. Nobody's going to listen to me. I'm just ignorant. I'm dumb. They could have had all the excuses in the world, but they didn't care about any of that. They had seen Jesus Christ, and they wanted to tell everybody what they had seen and what they had heard about Jesus. And that ought to be our motivation this Christmas, as we have celebrated our Savior's birth and we move into a new year. There ought to be something that says, I want to make known abroad what I've learned about Jesus. I want to tell other people who he is and what he's done for me. Not only were they compelled to, their response was to evangelize, but their response was to glorify. Verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Here in chapter 2, if you go on to verse 28, we read about a man named Simeon. And you remember how Simeon, God had told him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was waiting for that day to come. And when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple to do all the things according to the law, he came in, led of the Spirit at exactly that time, and he saw Jesus and he held him in his arms. And the Bible says that he blessed God. Verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, when you meet Jesus, when you hear the gospel and understand it, when you receive him as your Savior, it changes you, and you want to tell other people how they can be saved, and it causes you to glorify God. The shepherds did it. They went away praising God and glorifying God. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he blessed God and raised his voice up and declared the goodness of God and what God had done. The same thing with Anna. Anna was a woman, a prophetess of great age, who was faithful to the Lord for a long, long time. And when you go down at verse 38, she came in at the instant and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when Anna came in, the Bible simply says she gave thanks likewise. In the same way that Simeon had praised God, the same way that Simeon had blessed God, the same way that Simeon had glorified the Lord, Anna did the same thing. In the same manner, in the same way, she lifted up her voice and she praised God. She glorified the Lord. Friends, I want to tell you that it's an honor to get to praise the Lord God of heaven. Amen. It is a privilege to get to lift up our voices to praise his name. And whether that's coming in here as a congregation and open up a hymnal and singing together, or whether that's going out tomorrow to your work or your school or whatever you do and going and telling other people about what God has done and who Christ is and sharing the gospel and telling them about the good things that the Lord's done for you, that's all praise. That's all glorifying. What we're trying to do is shine the light on the Lord and who he is and what he's done for us. And everybody who met Jesus, everybody who came and saw him that first Christmas, they glorified the Lord. Amen. They glorified the Lord. Back in verse 19, we see the shepherds, how they evangelize, how they glorify. We see how Anna also evangelized and glorified, and how Simeon glorified. Again, Anna in verse 39, she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. She went and told anybody who would listen. And then we come back to Mary and Joseph in verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We talked about this a little bit the other day, but I want to tell you that we go from one thing to the other to the other. I mean, we just finished Christmas, and already we're looking to the new year. As soon as that's over, we're going to be looking to the next holiday, the next thing on the calendar, the next event. Some of you are already dreading. We've got some teachers in here. You're already thinking about having to go back to school because Christmas break's already half over, and you got to go back to school. And some of the other parents whose kids are home are saying, I can't wait till they all go back to school. But we're always looking to the next thing. We're always so busy. And we desperately need to stop and meditate on the Word of God. The things that we've heard and seen, we need to keep them. Amen. We've talked about it before. The word meditate means to what we would call ruminate. You, like the cow chews his cud. You just bring it up and chew on it again for a while and bring it up and chew on it again for a while. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. That's what we need to do with Christmas. That's what we need to do with the fact that God became a man. Man, we need to think about that and meditate on that and keep it and ponder it in our heart and not just drop it and move on to the next thing. Sometimes I'm afraid we're spiritually like the kids under the Christmas tree. How many of you had kids or grandkids watch them open presents this past week? Anybody? Okay. And how many of you saw them tear into one thing and then drop it and go on to the next thing and tear into that and drop it and go on to the next thing? And I'm afraid sometimes that's the way we are spiritually. And friends, Jesus is not a gift that we take and unwrap and then drop and look for something else. No, we keep. We hold dear to our heart and we ponder who he is and what he's done for us. So we evangelize, we glorify, we meditate or ponder the things that God has done, and we simply worship him. Joseph and Mary, over in verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. When Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God and says all that he does, Joseph and Mary just marveled. They are in a state of amazement, wonder at Jesus and what Simeon has to say about him. And I know some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you have been in church a long time. Some of you have known these truths for so long that they've lost their luster. And I just want to tell you tonight, we should be no less amazed at the gospel today than we were 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. We ought to be amazed that God became a man, that He shined the light of the gospel into the darkness of our Gentile world, that He saves sinners based on His love for us alone, by no merit that we could ever have on our own. Only by His great love He loved us. It ought to be mind-blowing to us. In other words, I'm trying to say tonight, friends, the gospel shouldn't be old to you. And I can't say that I haven't been guilty. I've been saved for 24 years. I'm gaining on you, Brother Tom. I can't say that there haven't been times that I've grown complacent in my heart for the Lord, my love for Him. I can't say that my heart and my love for Him has never grown cold. But I want to tell you, I don't want to be that way. And it's easy to see it in other people, easier than it is to see in yourself. But I'm just going to tell you, sometimes when I see people and you got the gospel and you're preaching the gospel and you're talking about Christ and all He's done, and people literally are yawning like they're bored with it, that's crazy to me. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus came. Amen. That's exciting to me. That's awesome to me. And when I think about who He is and what He's done, that ought to stir us up. We ought to be amazed. And it's not like they didn't have a clue. God sent Gabriel down. God gave visions to them. God showed them who Christ was, that this baby was born of the Holy Spirit of God, that the highest, God Almighty, was going to overshadow her. And the child that she would bear would be the Son of the Highest, that He would be the Savior of God's people. And it's not like they didn't have a clue. But even now, when Simeon comes and tells them again who He is and how He's going to be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, they're still amazed. They're still amazed. And here we are, almost 2,000 years later. Some of you have been alive for a little bit. Some of you have been alive a long time. Some of you have been saved for a little while. Some of you have been saved a long time, and you've heard these things, but friends, it ought to be no less amazing to us today than it ever has been before. We ought to be amazed. We ought to be amazed at what God's done for us in His Son, Jesus. And so they worship the Lord. And I use the word worship. See, praise is something outward. Worship is something inward. But worship literally means to ascribe worth to. We see people worshiping when they fall down on their face before God. And when they were in an act of a state of astonishment at the Lord Jesus, and that's where we need to be. I already told you again that Simeon, in verse 28, he glorified the Lord, he blessed God. And then we see Simeon in verse 34, he says, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the falling and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.'" Verse 35, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I want you to see in verse 34 that Simeon blessed them. So not only meeting Jesus causes us to evangelize, it causes us to glorify, it causes us to meditate, it causes us to worship, but it also causes us to encourage others. You see, it starts with this: Simeon blesses God, but then Simeon blesses them. You know, that's really ought to be what happens in the church, isn't it? Amen. We come here to worship God, and that's our primary focus, is to glorify Him, to worship Him, to lift up His holy name. But we also are to encourage one another. Amen. This may sound strange to you, but did you know that church should be a place of encouragement? And it's amazing to me sometimes how 100 people could say something encouraging to me, but then one person says something negative and it undoes all the 100 nice things that somebody said. Is anybody else like that? It's because I'm so negative, I know, but I just wonder if I'm alone up here. I'm telling you though, it's amazing. That's my nature. That's the way I am. By one negative comment, it erases 100 good comments. And that's a crazy thing, but that's the reality. And the Bible warns us about the power of the tongue, how easily it can cut down. It's a small member, but it kindles a great fire. And the tongue is a dangerous thing. We need to be careful. Because we can use our words to build up, or we can use our words to tear down. Now, I get it. There's some rough things in what he says, but my Bible says that the wounds of a friend are faithful. I mean, he prophesies. He tells Mary, listen, a sword's going to pierce your soul as well. But you got to understand, it's in the context of a blessing. He is blessing them. He's encouraging them. He is saying God is going to do something incredible through you and through this child. And I just see in this, as we come out of Christmas, it ought to be a time of encouragement. It ought to be a time that we bless one another, that we encourage one another, we build one another up. That doesn't mean you can't ever say anything negative. Sometimes something negative needs to be said, but we do it in a loving way, in a constructive manner, that we're trying to help. I'm thankful that I've had friends and family and church family that have been willing to come to me and say, hey, brother, I'm concerned about this. Now, I didn't enjoy it at the time, but it was good, and it was a blessing. So it ought to be a time of encouraging others. Meet Jesus. It ought to move us to evangelize, to glorify, to meditate on what God's done, to worship him with all our hearts, to encourage others. And then if you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And just look at verse 9, please. Verses 9 through 12. Matthew 2 and verse 9 says, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And we talked about that. And again, here are the wise men, and they're trying to find the Christ child. They're trying to find Jesus. And before they even get there, they're rejoicing with exceeding great joy. But in verse 11 it says, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want you to see just a couple more things tonight of the right responses to Christmas. What do we do now that Christmas is over? We evangelize, we glorify, we meditate, we worship, we encourage, and next we give. Number 6, we give. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. We know Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And that's so true. I might not have understood that when I was younger, but I understand it now. I love to give gifts to other people. I love to give gifts to my kids. I love to give gifts to other people. It's such a joy to be able to do something for somebody else, especially when they appreciate it. It's less enjoyable when they don't appreciate it, but that's just my human nature. But it's so nice to give something to someone and to see their eyes light up and to see them excited. We got to do that with the kids this year, and what a joy to be able to give a child something. And it doesn't even matter how much it costs, just when they get something that they're excited to get. Man, isn't that awesome? Amen. What a joy to be able to give to the Lord. You say, what could I possibly give to him? Well, whatever we give to him, we're just giving back what he's given to us. And you guys know how it goes. How many of you have ever given your child money so that they can buy you a gift? Anybody ever done that? Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah, we do that. Hey, Dad, can I borrow some money so I can buy you a present? Amen. Well, you may kind of laugh, but that means something, doesn't it? Amen. They don't have a means to have money on their own, so they got to get money from you, but they want to take that money and give something back to you, and that's a good thing. And that's exactly what we do. Listen, the reason those wise men had gold, frankincense, and myrrh is because God had blessed them to have those things. Amen. But they took what God had allowed them to get. They took what God had put in their care and they gave it to the Lord. I want you to notice the Bible says that when they had opened their treasures, and you get this picture that they came and they traveled a long way. They had all this stuff packed up for the journey, and they had to unload it. It was camels, right? Had to be camels, because it is on all the pictures, right? The wise men, because they came from the east, it had to be camels. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't camels, but I'm thinking it was camels. They had to unload this stuff, unpack it off of the camels or whatever other animal. They had to bring it into the house. They have to unwrap it. They have to unpack it. They have to go to the work of getting to it. And when they open it up, they give it to the Lord. Well, we have a lot to give to the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? We don't have any money. You say, what are you talking about? I don't have any abilities. Well, listen, I just want to help you tonight. That idea that you don't have anything to give to the Lord, that's a couple of things. Number one, it's false humility because it's simply not true. And the second thing it is an insult to God. You know what you're saying when you say, I don't have anything to give, I don't have anything to offer? You're saying God has given you nothing. Do you really believe that that's true? That God has given you nothing? No, see, God has given all of us a measure of time, talents, and treasures. You may not believe this, but we all have the same amount of time every day. We may not have the same amount of years, but everybody has. Sometimes I look at other people and say, I wish I had as much time as they have. You know what? They got 24 hours a day just like everybody else. The sun goes up and down with their life just like it does mine. And so we've all got that. You may have more years than I do. I may have more years than somebody else, but we've got time. And God has given all of us a measure of talents. And some of us have different abilities. We're not all the same. Everyone in the church has different abilities. But for you to say you have nothing to offer is to say that God has given you nothing. And I would just encourage you that that's a dangerous position to take. And God has given all of us a certain amount of treasures. And certainly, some have a lot of money, some have a little bit of money, some don't have very much money at all. But you know what I'm amazed with when I look into the Word of God? The one person in all of the Word of God who gave more, the one who the Lord said gave the most, was a little widow woman who had almost nothing. You say, well, I don't have much. Well, guess what? That's a great place to be with God. Because when you give out of your want, God is glorified. See, what the problem is most of the time we're looking at other people and we think, if I had as much as they did, I could give a lot. Let me help you out. When you look around our community and you see people you think have a lot, most of those people don't have a lot. What they have is a lot of debt. You guys with me? In our society today, the people that you look at and you think that, man, they've got it made. They got houses and cars and boats and toys, all that stuff. What they have is a mountain of debt. Most of the time. What I'm trying to tell you is it doesn't matter whether you have a little or a lot. We all have been blessed by God. Amen. And Christmas ought to move us to give to the Lord. Our time, our talents, our treasures, we lay at his feet to honor him. And you say, it's just not much. Please don't say that. Say, what God has given me, I give back to him in return. It's a time to give. They had to open up their treasures, and you may not know what your talents are, your abilities, but God gives us an opportunity to discover our gifts. And I believe that God has spiritually gifted every saved person who is in this church. He has given us abilities, and we ought to discover those spiritual gifts. We ought to develop those spiritual gifts, and then we ought to deploy those spiritual gifts. We ought to put them into service for the Lord. And last, we ought to obey. Christmas ought to move us to evangelize, to glorify, to meditate, to worship, to encourage, to give, and lastly, to obey. Verse 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I don't want to read into it too much, but did you just see that it says they went another way? After they met Jesus, they went home different. Just specifically, God said, don't go this way, and they did what God said. And they may not seem significant to you, but I think every day God says, don't do that. I think every day says God says, hey, go do this. Every day, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is prompting us either to not do something or to do something. The Lord's saying to you at the gas station, go give that guy a track. The Lord's saying to you when you wake up in the morning, get up and read your Bible. The Lord's saying to you when you sit down at the end of the day and turn the TV on, don't watch that. I think that all the time when you're at work and somebody's having a filthy conversation, the Lord's saying, don't listen to that. Get away from that. I think every day the Lord is giving us these commands. Don't do this, do this, go over here, don't go over there. And we would learn to simply obey. Let me help you out. What happens to the wise men if they go back to Herod? They go back, they say, oh yeah, we found him. He's over here in Bethlehem. You know what Herod's going to do to those wise men? He's going to kill them. And I know the song says there's three. I don't know if there was three or 300. But I promise you this, Herod would have killed every last one of them. And then he would have went and found Jesus and killed him and Mary and Joseph and all the other babies like he did anyway. You see what I'm saying? There's consequences. Now, I'm not saying if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit tomorrow, hundreds of babies are going to die. But I am saying there's going to be consequences. That we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when we consider Christmas, it ought to move us to obey. Obey, somebody once said, obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convicts our heart, we do what He leads us to do. Tonight, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I just, considering these men and women who met Jesus at His birth and in the months, weeks and months that followed His birth, they were all changed. They responded in these seven ways, maybe more. But I just want to encourage you that as we leave this Christmas season and go into a new year, that we don't just leave Christmas behind, but this unspeakable gift that God has given us would change us and change the way we live day by day. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. 544. 544.